Steve?
I was just going to point out with the Portuguese study that you presented, they use cipritone acetate, which we know, at least in the metastatic setting.
They use LHRH plus cipritone acetate.
Right, so it's combined with that. But we know compared to LHRH alone actually worsens survival. You have a drug that increases mainly non-prostate cancer deaths. And if you actually look at the data you presented, there was a reduction in prostate cancer deaths in the continuous arm, though there was an increase in non-prostate cancer deaths in the combined, because possibly because they were getting more of this toxic agent, the cipritone acetate. So I think it's difficult to extrapolate that to the way it would be treated in the United States with either intermittent maximal androgen blockade with a non-steroidal antiandrogen.
Paul?
Question, Laurie. You showed that the lower the initial PSA on initiating therapy, the longer the off cycle.
Yes.
And yet the trials look for initiation of repeating the cycle at 20 plus. That seems to me to be counterproductive. I mean, it may be the trial design.
Well, the data about the PSA and the duration of the off treatment intervals from our Canadian phase 2 trial. And the PSA retreating at 20 is the Portuguese trial.
And the SWOG trials that as well. So, I mean, it seems that we're treating, from what you say, we're reinitiating the cycle maybe too late and losing the benefit of a longer off cycle as a result. I'm asking you if that makes sense.
No, I don't think we have any idea what the retreatment PSA should be. I'm very influenced by the results of this URTC trial that Erstuder has shown, showing that a PSA in the 20 to 50 range identifies patients in the high-risk group who benefit. So I think we're in the ballpark, 10, 20, 50. Less than 10 is too low. Above 50 is too high. Beyond that, I don't think we can say too much. It's just we kind of have a cultural bias against letting the PSA get up too high. But if we're being stringent, I don't think we really know whether or not that matters.
Just as a matter, with the Erstuder trial, weren't you impressed that the overall survival was better with androgen deprivation initiated early? And cancer-specific survival is a much softer endpoint. To me, it doesn't make sense that we should look hard at a non-survival endpoint as being superior.
In the Studer trial, there was an 11% benefit in non-prostate cancer survival in the early androgen deprivation therapy group, and no difference in prostate cancer survival. And they bent over backwards to have correct ascertainment of cause of death. So how can you explain and improve survival with early endocrine therapy? Either it's, you know, loss of testosterone means you don't drive as fast, you don't go hang gliding, which is what some people suggest, so your survival's improved, or it's just a statistical aberration because it doesn't make sense.
Tom?
But the fact is, that's the data. And that's the same argument that Erstuder gave, saying, well, I can't explain this, but it has to be wrong. Well, the data is the data, and we've sat here all day and we've gone back and forth, and the fact is there was a 10 to 11% difference in overall survival in favor of earlier treatment. Some of us don't like that finding. I'm not thrilled about it, but nonetheless, that's the finding, and I don't think we can say we can just poo-poo it because it doesn't suit what we want to do. It's there, and it has to be recognized, and he didn't recognize it, and, you know, I was surprised that he didn't, because it is a difference.
Well, I think you could question... You could say the ascertainment of cause of death can never be 100%. Therefore, maybe actually there is a benefit in terms of prostate cancer survival. He would dispute that aggressively. Or you could say that they actually showed a non-prostate cancer survival benefit. It's actually healthy to be on LHRH analogs. And that I would just reject because it flies in the face of so much other data that we know about the toxic. It just, sometimes you can reject results that just don't make sense, and that's one of them.
Well, it does answer our question about the cardiac side effects, because if there were significant cardiac side effects, one would surely have expected to see more death rates in the earlier treated patients because they've been on it for longer.